We're in Tivot Shalom, Parshat Chayesara. We're on page Kuf Lamed Gimel. Vayavo Abraham Lispod Lisara. Figured in a woman's chabura. It's a good parsha to take a moment to reflect on femininity. Umidrash Tanchuma. Yitchil Abraham Livchot Aleha Velomar Eshet Chayel Miyimsa. In Medrash Tanchuma, it says something which is somewhat well known. For those of you who don't know it, now you will know it. That according to the Medrash, the parak in Mishlei of Eshes Chayil is actually attributed to Avraham. And Eshes Chayil is actually the hesped of Avram Avinu for Sarah.
Didn't Shlomo Melech write it?
Yeah, check that out. So, according to the Medrash, the entirety of Eshes Chayil is the hesped of Avram for Sarah. Now, the question is, was it of his own? Was he giving over what Avram Avinu had already said? Could have been a bit of a Ruach HaKodesh? Because, I mean, like, one has to definitely deal with the issue, but according to the Medrash, it's the hesped of Avraham for Sarah. Vayin Sham. See there in the Medrash, Shedereish Sheyachut Kol Pasuk L'Sarah, and it shows there in the Medrash, it goes through verse by verse by verse, how every single verse in Eshes Chayil is linked to Sarah. V'yala Pasuk Zama Sadeh V'tikachehu Mifareish Dekai Amarata Machpelah. On the Pasuk of measuring out the field and acquiring it, that learns it out that this is the buying of Avram Vinu at Marata Machpelah for Sarah, who passes away in the sixth Parsha. Zamema v'nafla et Sarah et Sadeh Machpelah, that he measured out and he required the Marat Sadeh Machpelah. V'kashe dare Marat Machpelah niknita rak la'achar mitat Sarah. Now that's odd, because if we're saying that the whole of Eshes Chayil is a hesped for Sarah, so we're saying that if it's in the hesped that Sarah Imenu is the one who purchased Marat Machpelah, but we know from the sixth parsha very clearly that Avram Avinu is the one who bought Marat Machpelah. So what does it mean that he's praising Sarah for purchasing Marat Machpelah if very clearly in the Pesukim it's Avram Avinu who's buying it? So in which case, if Avram Avinu did buy it, then why is this a Shevach for Sarah? Why is this any praise for Sarah? We can also ask Al Od Darshot Sham on many of the other things that are learned out there in that medrash. Kigon Lotir Leveta Mishale Kigol Beit Elavu Shanim, that there's no fear of cold in their house because they would all wear Chomim Shanim Banglit. Scarlet. Yeah, they would all wear very like fine woven clothing. Shemuvar the sheleg kayal al hageinom, that explains there that the sheleg there, the cold, is talking about the coldness of Gehenna. Sheina yir'e min hageinom ki kol beital levushanim, that they don't see, that none of the people in her house would ever see Gehenna, because they were all wearing levush shanim. Al tikre shanim ela shnayim, don't read it as shanim, scarlet threads, rather as shniim, ot shabbat v'ot mila, that everybody in the house always had shabbat and everybody was dedicated to bris mila. Sheyudia sher lo ot shabbat v'ot mila, that a Jew has both the oath of shabbat. We call Shabbat ki oti beniu venichen. That Shabbat is an oath. Shabbat is a sign. That's why men don't wear tefillin on Shabbat, because Shabbat is an oath, so they don't need the oath of tefillin. Shabbat is a sign of the connection between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So too, the Brit Milah is an oath of the Brit between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So bet otot elu heim ha'itza lihinatzel migehinom, that these two signs are a way to safeguard one from Gehenna. Again, what is love doing with Sarah, and why are we learning it out from here? The gambaze yishlach shot mashiach inyan zel sarah leishas chayil. Right, we need to read the next line. Like that's the obvious question. What is the oath of Shabbos, and especially the oath of Bris Mila? What does that have anything to do with Sarah Imenu, and how is that having to do with the praise of her in Eishas Chayil? V'chein v'pasuk sadin asta v'timkor demefarish zo hamila. Kashek kein mashiach l'shabeach bazet ha'ishes chayil ve'izer sheyechad ziyich lazeh al saras. There's another pasuk here which is also seems to be an implying or indicating the greatness of Bris Mila. And again, what's the connection here to Sarah Yemenu? Achin yishlumod mized bechinat ishes chayil inyana de'af shebe'etzem isha hi bechinat mekabel. We need to understand from this the aspect of Eshes Chayil, that what it's saying here is that even though in essence a woman has a bechina of being a mekabel, of being a receiver, and we'll unpack that in a moment, habracha v'ahashpa'a labayit hi bizchut ha'Eshes Chayil. All of the bracha, all of the blessing, all of the goodness that comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu into a Jew's home, it's all coming in the schus of the Eshes Chayil. The alderech ita besvar makedoshim, the kol agashmiut v'ruchaniut shel habayit lim bizchuta, that all of the physical bounty and spiritual bounty of a person's house is all dependent on the schus of the woman, is on the schus of the wife. What it's saying here is that there's two primary modes, in a binary sort of way, there's two primary modes that exist in so many different ways in the world is mostly espoused by Kabbalah. There's the Mashpia and there's the Mekabel. The Mashpia is the one who is bestowing, the Mashpia is the one who is giving, and the Mekabel is the one that's receiving. Right? Every vessel has content that needs to be poured into it for it to be meaningful. But content without a vessel to hold it can't go anywhere. It's meaningless. And very often, when we start to apply these types of paradigms in the realm of masculinity and femininity, it tends to be translated in a derogatory way. It tends to be which one's better, which one's more important, which one's more significant. And Kabbalah would never take such a stance. Kabbalah says these are two definitive requirements in the nature of reality. If you have bounty, if you have bestowal, and it has nowhere to go, then it goes to waste. And if you have a vessel and nothing to fill it, then the vessel is also for naught. But both are intrinsically significant, right? If you have flowing water but no cup, you've got nothing to drink. And if you have a cup and no water, then you also have nothing to drink. But both the mashpia, both the bestowal, and the receiving vessel are both intrinsically and incredibly important. Right? A phrase which has been tarnished in our day and age is a concept of separate but equal. Is a concept that people can have two totally separate roles. Those roles can be totally unique. And those roles are equally important. Because without both achieving their fullest potential, then nothing can get accomplished. And the way that traditionally dealt with in terms of the perspective and the play and the spiritual goals invested in man and woman is that man is generally, these paradigms are speaking bigadol in terms of kalim, general principles, not by any specific individual, is that man generally takes on the form of the mashpia, of the bestower, and the woman the receiver, the mikabel. And that can be looked upon as negative because you're saying that woman is nothing without the man and the man provides all the content. Okay, that's a very masculine way of looking at things. The other way to look at it is, if you have tremendous potential and nowhere to put it, then you may as well not have the potential at all. And again, both of those sides being equally important. It's on a physical level, on the most simple physical level. When you think about producing fruit in this world, the male provides tremendous, endless amount of potential. The woman's job in the production of life in this world, and there's nobody's yet found a way to counteract this necessary biological process and flip the roles. It's one of the few vestiges that we have left, where the woman then takes that unlimited potential, all of which is short-lived, all of which is nothing but a slim amount of potential, takes one strand and receives it as a vessel, takes it and allows it to grow and literally gestate and come to full form. And through that, you can produce new life, you can produce new things in this world. But the woman is the vessel that receives, nourishes, and produces. Without the masculine, there's no opportunity. Without the feminine, it's literally waste. Both are a part of that, both the giver and the receiver. So too, many would claim that this would be the case on a spiritual level as well. That a man has a chiyuv on them all the time, of Limud Torah, for example. A man is chayav in Limud Torah all the time. They're meant to be staying in a place of as pure, untapped potential as they can possibly be. To, so to speak, and I'm not advocating for kol or not, I'm saying just to emphasize the paradigm. A man is staying in the Beis Medrash, learning every single second of the day that he can, to learn and learn and learn and learn in clarity all of the depth of the halakha, all of the depth of the spiritual realities of the world. But all of that remaining in the potential inside of the man is totally useless. And the only person that can be entrusted in taking that spiritual potential that man mines from the Torah, and solidifying it and concretizing it in the world, is a woman. A man is supposed to learn the halakha, supposed to learn the hashkafa, supposed to learn the depth of the Torah, bring it back to the house, but it's an assumption that only the woman is the one who can manifest it. the man we used this example yesterday in the Midrashah, we intentionally didn't record it. For example, a man is meant to go and learn all of the nuances, all of the many, many nuances of what types of wicks can use for Neror Shabbos, what type of oil can use for Neror Shabbos, when should it be lit, how should it be lit, how much in advance, what happens if you light before, after, what, all of the permutations. But the only person who can truly bring out the Or HaGanuz in this world by being able to deeply see what a candle is and the Ner that the Neror Shabbos are, that's the woman, that's the feminine aspect of taking that potential, harnessing it, and producing a merging of a beautiful unity of spirituality and physicality in the world in a way that a man can't because he would get lost in the physical. Because he doesn't have the ability to manifest that, because he doesn't have the vessels with which to pull it into this world. The woman draws that from the man and produces spirituality in the world. That's the idea. That's the ultimate paradigm, at least according to Kabbalah. That's the paradigm. There are obviously exceptions to the rule. There are obviously ways in which it needs to be teased out for every person, in every situation, in every circumstance. But that's the paradigm of the man being the mashpia on a physical and spiritual level, and the woman being the mekabelet. But again, if the woman is not there to be the mekabelet, then nothing happens. The chiddush of what the Netivot Shalom is saying is that afilu, the mashpia, the hashpa'a, is in her schus also. Right? Find every good man is a good woman. Right? So that's because without the Eish HaSchayil, there is no ability for the man to even come to the place where he can have the hashpa, is what the Netivot Shalom is saying. And when your husbands give you trouble, peshat v'al-muslachat, in the right time, you can bring them this piece and show it to them. They might wave it off because it's Netivot Shalom, but, you know, we talked about how to combat the negative stance that the world takes on things that are really important. So he says here, Val Derech Ze, the Ita Besvarma Kedoshim, he says, Shekola Gashmut Ruchaniut Shalabait Lim Zuchuta, that all of the physicality and spirituality are all dependent upon her. That at the end of the day, it's in her schus. Questions or comments before we take it forward? No? Nothing? Even on this one?
You like what you're saying?
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Yalkin, nechshav l'schuta l'tzira l'veita mishala kikol beita l'vush shanim ot shabbat v'ot brit, that even this pasuk, which is being more, which is teaching us about the depth and the meaning of Shabbos and Mila, and the necessity of Shabbos and Mila as the mitzvot that can keep a person away from Gehenna, these are also in her schus. Da'ainu ha-shabbatot u'kudashat ha-bayit shazeh b'schuta, that all of Shabbos is coming in her schus, and all of the bayis is coming in her schus. That she's the one who's bringing these things about. I don't know if this is the right or wrong place to bring it in, but it's something which I've always thought about, and I always was very excited about when it came together. That in B'mem Adlikin, in the second chapter of Mishnayot Shabbos, it lists the three things that a woman is most shayach to, the three mitzvot that a woman is most shayach to. What are the three mitzvot that one is Moshayach to?
Chala, Nerot, Nida.
Yeah, Chala, Nida, Nerot, Shabbat. Shabbos, Tarat HaMishpacha, and Kashrus, basically. And so I strongly suspect, you know, we talk about, he's saying here how the whole, we know from many sources that it's the woman that the women throughout Jewish history, throughout Tanakh, are the ones to, even when men stray, are the ones to be firm, to remain dedicated and faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ones who are the bearers in the house of keeping the tradition alive. So when you think about it, it's very interesting. If you think about, if somebody says like, are you Orthodox? What do we often define as definitionally Orthodox?
Kosher.
And?
Shabbos.
Shabbos. And what is the one that we don't say, but Sephardim do say? Tarat HaMishpacha. That's the one that Ashkenazim don't say, and unfortunately don't necessarily keep as much. And Sephardim, you can't even go there. There was one of the Rebbeim that I had a connection to over time once told me, it was a little bit... He was able to do this. He said that he was in a taxi in Yerushalayim. He's Israeli. He was in a taxi in Yerushalayim, and he asked the Sephardic taxi driver. He wanted to understand, what level of observance a traditional Israeli Jew holds. And so he had the chutzpah to say, "Do you keep Tarat HaMishpacha?" He said the Sephardic cab driver stopped the cab and said, "Get out." He said, "Get out of my cab." Not because of the insensitivity of the question, but because how dare you ask me if I keep Tarat HaMishpacha? Of course I keep Tarat HaMishpacha. It's not even a question. By the Sephardim, it's kacha. That's not even a question. But the Ashkenazim, again, they're still more keep it than not. But by Sephardim, it's not even. There's nothing to talk about. So those are the three things that I strongly suspect. I strongly suspect the correlation is, what are the three things that if Judaism were to hold on, that we could, that there's no reason to say, when you ask a person, are you Orthodox? There's no, give me a source that would define the definition of Shmirat HaMitzvot as Kashrus, Shabbos, and parentheses, Tarat HaMishpacha. There's no source. And I strongly suspect that this is the source. That those things that women are most shayach to are the things which stuck through the generations to keep Judaism alive. Chala, Nida, and Halakat Haner. I strongly suspect that to be the case. I have no proof for it other than colloquially that we assume that those things are what makes somebody from. But I think that they are, because those are the things that the women were able to make sure that Judaism never lost throughout the generations. But he's saying here then that the whole schus of what we have in the bias is the foundation of everything that we have in terms of a Jewish home, in terms of what Judaism is. The man can go out and do whatever he does, whether in the Beit Midrash or not. The home is where Judaism lives. The home is where Judaism is manifest. The home is where Judaism is transmitted to the children. The home is where Judaism is lived. What your Shabbos table looks like, what your home looks like, what your kitchen looks like, what your house looks like, it all comes down, even if the man is involved, and I'm not even, you know, co-parenting, gender roles, all this stuff, I don't care. The house is defined by the woman. She's going to set the tone. And what he's saying here is, in a different Lashon, they don't think that they're struggling in this way necessarily in Slanim. But what he's saying here is that the whole tenor of the house, and therefore the whole Judaism of the house and of both the husband and the wife, is all defined by the dedication, the commitment, the spirituality of the woman. No matter what the man thinks his place of it is, and I'm sure that he'll take most of the credit. At the end of the day, it's the woman who truly defines the Judaism of a Jewish home. To the extent that Shabbos is all in her schus, to the extent that even Bris Milah is all in her schlus, and what I assume he's going to unpack here, but saying, meaning the Kedushat HaBayit is all in her schlus. When I teach Chassanim, when I do Chassan classes with Chassanim, so I say to the Chassan, I said, listen, we're about to learn Tarat HaMishpacha. Know that this is purely informational, but it's none of your business. Mm-hmm. It's your wife's mitzvah that you should just know what's going on, so that way when she says stuff to you, you don't look like an idiot. But other than that, you totally stay out of it. It's none of your business. Tarat HaMishpacha is for her. Until you, unless you're a rabbi, you're not passing him. And when you are a rabbi, you're smart enough to know that you shouldn't pass him there anyway. You're going to ask somebody else to shayla. But the point is that this isn't, it's purely informational for you, which means that all of Taharat HaMishpacha, all of the purity of the household, the Kedushat HaBayit, coming through the Kedusha Ben Ish L'Isha, and all of the Kedushat HaBayit coming through Shabbat, through Neirot Shabbat, through, again, depending on the nature of the house, all of the food and the sustenance and the Avirav, the house of Shabbat, it's all coming through the wife. Which means that all of the Kedusha of the Bayis and the marriage is coming through the wife. All of it. Without exception. When we talk about the two tent poles, the two vessels of Kedusha. What do we always talk about? We've spoken about this many, many times in previous years in the Devot Shalom. What are the two paradigms of Kedusha in Judaism? I'm looking at the people here who have been here before. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just like, what are you talking about?
The two things which are definitionally Kedusha oriented.
Food.
Food and?
Relations.
Relations between men and women. Right? And that's again what we're talking about here. Right? Chala, Chadlaka, and Tarat HaMishpacha. And also Shabbat, meaning Shabbat is everything. Kilu, that's not a chiddush in Devot Shalom. But we're saying here that basically not just the Judaism of the house, but if we're talking about Tarat HaMishpacha, and we're talking about Shabbat, and we're talking about Achila, we're talking about food, the Kedusha of the house is defined by the woman, and the woman alone. Even if the man's involved, the Kedusha of the house is defined by the woman. It's an incredibly powerful place to be. It's an incredibly powerful statement to make. I'm a tremendous feminist. I have tremendous respect for women and the fact that I couldn't do half of the things that you all can do. Mm-hmm. And I lean on my wife a lot because of these things. Because it's you who are the people who are going to define the Kedusha of your houses. Particularly in these three areas, in all of Judaism, but these are the three areas that are most potent and they're most in your hands. Al pi Chazal and the Mishnah, al pi, you know, colloquial Judaism, and in terms of what the Tivot Shalom is saying right here. Tov.
But isn't it like it's not all like influenced like her, the spirituality that she transmits? It's not at all like influenced by like the man at all.
It is 100% influenced by the man. Meaning, in an ideal situation, the man is supposed to be the one who's transmitting the halacha. I mean, the one who's transmitting the tenor of the house in and of itself. So it might be that I paskin the shilas in my house, unless it's bigger than me and I pass it along to my posik. But I paskin the shilas in my house. But at the end of the day, I don't actually do them. I'm not the one who manifests. I'm not the one who actualizes them. I'm busy here teaching all of you. So somebody's taking care of the house. Somebody's taking care of the children. Somebody's taking care of the reality of what we're doing. And at the end of the day, that the woman is the one who just has a more natural inclination. This I'll stand by without unpacking, as we talked about yesterday. But has a more natural inclination to be able to see the spiritual within the physical. So I can define the spiritual, but as a man, it's much more hard, it's much more difficult for me to manifest the spiritual from within the physical. I can identify it, I can quantify it, I can define it, I can give an outpouring, a hashpa'ah of spirituality, but the person who's going to be able to go and to see the Or HaGanah in Neir Shabbos and to cry over the candles, not going to be me. Last time my wife was away, I was like, I'm going to wave my hands a couple of times and say the bracha. Like, I don't really know what to do after that. You know, that's basically as far as I got. You know, I'm busy thinking about it's very close to Shkia. What Tanai should I say in my head in terms of saying Mincha after I light candles, and do I have to make the time? What happens if Shkia comes before I finish my Nesrei? That was going through my head. I certainly wasn't crying. I was busy with all of the. I was where I was supposed to be. I was in the realm of Hashpa. But can't come to the candles, I'm still sitting in my funny little upper world where I'm in my head, and I'm not bringing out what I need to bring out when I light the Shabbos candles.
But in order to manifest something, she first needs that man to, like, bring the physical.
Ideally. So, no, to bring the spiritual, to define the spirituality.
Oh.
Meaning, I can bring the halakha. You know, I can, practically speaking, I think it's a beautiful, you know, kind of coming together of the two also. Halakha l'maaseh, a husband is supposed to set up the oil and the wicks and pre-light the candles for his wife. The man is supposed to set up all of the potential, but the person who actualizes is the woman. Again, we talked in the same thing in the physical example. All of the potential comes from the man. So much potential that not all of it can be actualized. The woman finds that one strand of potential and actualizes it through the difficult process of making it real in this world. That's the idea. In its ultimate pristine paradigm. Again, especially on recording, I'm not making broad strokes here about how every single family works or every single person works. But this is the ultimate paradigm, and needs to be adapted for each person according to where they're at, and each family, and each couple for where they're at. One of the people who works in JLIC, so he happens to be a fantastic cook. He has the ability to take off Fridays. His wife doesn't, and he cooks for everything for chefs. So is that wrong? It's not wrong. Meaning, like, again, it's an ultimate paradigm. It's a theoretical paradigm, and that's what works to them. All of our learning before and from now forward should be for a very deep refuah shlema for Aaron ben Sima. I'm not saying that he's necessarily that he's wrong. I'm not saying that the paradigm is problematic. But similarly, I mean, this, anybody who's listening who knows this person will be very easy to identify who he is. But he would appreciate this also. You know, he's also the same person. You know how if any of you are near for Shabbat, on Shabbos day. So I like to sing Kiddush. I put a simply Tzfat tune to Kiddush Rabbah. Any of you ever heard this? Anybody near for Shabbos and heard it? Mm-hmm. So, any event. So I make a whole big thing out of it because I love to sing and I like the spiritual aspects of Judaism, and it's a very big thing to me. So the same person who is the one who brings in the Shabbos, so he actually gets every single time, I've been to his house many times for Shabbos, he gets up and he actually says as follows. He goes, lots of pesukim that have no relevance in halacha, savri, and then that's it, and then he just goes into Kiddush. He intentionally makes a point of skipping it because it has no halachic necessity to say the pesukim about Shabbat before you say hagefen on Shabbos. You know, like, for him, like, there's nothing to pour into it. I try to tap into a place where I find a depth in singing and in the psukim and trying to manifest a greater reality of Shabbos in that way. That's something which I aspire to and strive for. But, you know, to me, it's not surprising that the same person who, even in a role switch, is going to be cooking for Shabbos, you know, is not singing. Is not going to sing, you know, for the psukim before Shabbos Kiddush. It's a balanced thing. It's a nature of who we are and what we are. I might have seen it was too far afield, but I'm trying to answer your question the best as I can.
Did we get to the point where, like, Sarah with the Brit Milah?
Well, so no, what he said, I mean, we didn't get to it. We've already touched upon it, which is no, that if she, meaning the meaning of Brit Milah is Kedusha in Tarat HaMishpacha. That's what Brit Milah symbolizes. Kedusha in not in Arayas, meaning Kedusha against Arayas, but Kedusha in relationships. So who's the one who defines the kedusha of the relationship? The wife. Even though the man has the bris milah. And by the way, the Gemara says that if a woman can't have a bris milah, it's as though she's already mal. She already has the milah of bris milah, even if she doesn't have it done to her. So meaning, but that's beside the point of that halachic reality. It's saying here that that she's the one who brings out the potential in Bris Milah as a potential for spiritual purity. The manifestation of spiritual purity comes through the wife. Who's the one who's going to put their foot down about Tarat HaMishpacha? Only the woman can. Only the woman can decide to go to mikvah. Only the woman can decide whether she's going to keep the laws. What happens with a woman in Tarat HaMishpacha is between her and herself. The man doesn't know. And it's not, and again, like I said, like I told Hassan, it's not the business of the man to ask.
He can encourage it, like, he can...
No? He should if it's not happening, but you try to be in a marriage where the man is encouraging the woman to keep Tarat HaMishpacha and she isn't, that's where you need marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. Meaning that's not really his place, that's not the way that it works. The person who's going to define the spirituality of the house is the wife, or they're going to have to go to marriage counseling, but it's one of the two. Mm-hmm. There's no way that the man is going to solve the spirituality of the house on his own, mm-hmm. because she's the one who holds it, she's the one who bears it, she's the one who's going to manifest it.
Also, how does Sarah, like it said that she's the one who pays, like, for Marah.
Let's go forward. Good. So that's my indication that we're done with the tangents. Let's go forward. Bialkain. Nechshav lizchuta. Lizchuta. It's considered her schus. Lotir levetem yishalai. He called it betal vushanim. Ot Shabbat v'ot Mila. That both Shabbos and Mila, as we've just explained at length, are all coming in her schus. Hainu ha-Shabbatot u-Kedushat ha-Shabbat. Both Shabbos and the Kedusha and the Kedushat ha-Bayit, the Kedusha of the house, the sanctity of the house, they're all coming in her schus, regardless of the participation of the man. It's all in her schus. V'kein shar ha-inanim she-nimnu sham she-im bizchut ha-Ish Yischael. So too, all of the other things which are listed here, they're in the schus of the Ish Yischael. Af she-ina usad zot ba-atzma, even if she's not doing them on her own. Aval ze bizchuta ba-hashpa'ata, they're coming in her schus and her hashpa. Right. It also just comes back, sorry, there was no chance I wasn't going to attention on this piece. Because of this tangent, mm-hmm. is that you hear a piece like this and you recognize that so many of these svarim were written with a target audience of men. But recognize that while many of these svarim were written with a target audience of men, imagine if the Slonimer would have written all of Nesivo Shalom for women. What a different Nesivo Shalom it would be.
Yeah.
Just think about that for a second. Meaning what men often miss when they're teaching Torah is not that women are not prioritized within Torah. It's that most of the Svarim just weren't directed at women when they were being written. Here's a piece that's written that's directed at women, and the Slonimer is not holding back. It's not like, and Yesh Misha Omer, that women are also important. It's all of the schus of everything in the house, and everything in Shabbos, and everything in Eish Yischael that the man does, and all of the hashpah that a man has, even though he's the mashpia, who is it in the schus of? Women. There's no apologetics here. There's no response to anything here. This is the Nesivos Shalom being honest and genuine in terms of what the Torah holds. Just recognizing the fact that it's that the Torah values women. Those who espouse the Torah don't always emphasize the value that Torah puts on women, and that's not the same thing. But take this piece to heart in that way. Nobody asked him to write this. He's just, in the same way with every other piece, he's talking the Emes of Torah. Kacha. Ve'ad shebimidrash sham ala pasuk v'Avraham zakin babi yamin, and so too that in the Medrash it says on the pasuk that Avraham was old and he came with all of his days. V'Hashem birachat Avraham b'kolon, and God blessed Avraham with everything. Itza kidei shelo yeh ba'ei olam omrim lo nitbarech Avraham ela machamat sara l'kach nemar v'Hashem birachat Avraham. Meaning one of the reasons why it had to say v'Hashem birachat Avraham is because what one might have thought, had God not written that explicitly in the Torah, that all of the bracha that came to Avraham is all in the schus of Sarah. God also gave bracha to Avraham. Not to worry. We have to do apologetics for Avraham, if you knew. Right? We have to make sure that people know, like, don't worry, Avraham also received bracha. It wasn't just in the schus of Sarah. It was also in his schus. Because that would have been our hava amina. It's an unbelievable thing that the Medrash is saying. Shaya makom lomar shekol ha-brachot hem rak b'zchut ha-ish Yischael. Because there is a legitimate place to say that all of the bracha of any man is all coming from the woman. V'af, and even, coming back to what... Your question, coming back to the Tivot Shalom's question. V'av zamamasa devatikachehu, measuring out the field of Marat HaMachpelah and purchasing it. Dekayel Marat HaMachpelah, which is referencing Marat HaMachpelah. Shekana Avraham la'achar mitat Sarah, that Avraham purchased after the death of Sarah. Gam hu mikocha. This is also coming from the koach of Sarah, even after she passes away. It's all coming in the koach of Sarah, Yamina. Shehu al derech mamar chazal. Tzadikim b'mitatan kriyim chayim. The tzadikim, when they pass away, are still considered alive. They're considered possibly even more alive than when they are in life. They're able to fully shine in the fullness of the life of their soul. It's able to come forth without being inhibited by the physicality of our bodies. So a tzadik or a tzadikas, when they pass away, they're considered a chayim. V'hainu sheish b'mkoach hanitzchiyut. They have an eternal side to them in their soul that continues on long after they've passed away. Again, watch again how he's reinterpreting something which you could say tzaddikim, so it's talking about tzaddikim, and he's saying no. It's pashut to the Netivot Shalom. That if you read a Gemara and it says tzaddikim, it means tzaddikim and tzidkaniyot. It's a dover pashut to him. Mashpa'atam. Kayemet gam lachar histalkutam. And their hashpa, their bestowal on the world, continues long after they've been pulled away from this world. The koach eish eschayel shayach gam al inyanim shel achar mikan. And the koach of the eish eschayel continues long after they're gone. Shim mikochav hashpata, that things can happen even from their koach long after they've gone away. V'zeu ma dematzinu b'torah halashon v'yomer elokim la'avraham sarai ishtecha lo tikrat shema sarai v'gomer v'chein sarai ishtecha yoledet v'gomer d'lech orim yuteret tivat ishtecha. And this also explains why in previous parshiot, when it says that God said to Avraham, Sarah, your wife, don't call her name Sarai, but rather call her Sarah. And also when it says, Sarah, your wife will give birth, what does it mean, Sarah, your wife? He wasn't confused. He wasn't thinking like, oh, you, my Sarah or the other Sarah? So he wasn't asking the question. What does that mean? So what is, why is the Torah emphasizing? Why is God emphasizing when he says to Avram Vinu, Sarah ishtecha, dilich orim yuteret tivat ishtecha, it seems to be extraneous to the word ishtecha. Ela mirumaz ka'amor sheyish bazeh bechinat nitzchiyut, because he's emphasizing here the eternal aspect of it. V'davar elokeinu yakum li'olam, and the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are forever. V'tamid hi sarah ishtecha af la'achar mota, that she's sarah ishtecha, meaning she is definitionally sarah, your wife. Whether she's in this world or she's not in this world, you're in this world or you're not in this world, she will always be connected to you. She'll always going to be your wife. The two of you are always bound. The two of you are always dependent one on another in life and in death. Ki ha'avot v'ha'imaot yish behem nitzchiyut, because our forefathers and our foremothers have an eternal side to them. V'al pize yishlamara katuv v'yosef Avraham v'yikach yishmau shma keturah, that it says in the pasuk later on at the very end of the parsha that after Sarah dies, Avram goes and takes another wife called Keturah. Sheish makshim sharei hayaze le'achar mot Sarah, that there are those who say that this is after the passing of Sarah. Umau halashon v'yosef shemash ma'uta sheosif alei odisha kilu, meaning if Sarah passed away, and then Avraham went and married somebody else, what does it mean? Avraham went and also and added on a wife in Keturah. He didn't add on a wife in Keturah. What other wife was there? Sarah had already passed away.
You're not considering like Hagar as a wife, I guess.
Well, no, I'll pee Chazal, Keturah and Hagar are the same person.
Same person, I mean, yeah. But I'm saying, like, if you're not looking at Chazal.
No, Hagar was always a Shifcha.
A Shifcha.
I mean, Pesukim get iffy. Vatikach lo Hagar, Shifcha, lo Isha, Mashu Kazel, like, meaning the Pesukim there, that whole story is complicated. However, the assumption is that she was not considered a full-fledged wife. So what does it mean by Tosef that he brought on another wife? He's saying here the same thing. Achim kamor Sarai ishtecha initzchit. Sarah being Avram's wife is eternal. It's not something which is bound by the limitations of time or by the limitations of space in this world. Even after she's passed away, it's like she's still alive. She's still living with Avraham. She's still living within Avraham. She's living within this world. That's the pirush of measuring out and acquiring the sadeh of the Machpelah, Marat Machpelah. Al pi amor shakol bischuta, that all of this is in her schus. B'hashpa'ata uv'hashra'ata shel ha'ish eschayel, in the hashpa and in the hashra'ah and the presence of the ish eschayel. V'gam sadeh ha'machpelah. Even the purchasing of Marat HaMachpelah after she passed away, this is all coming in the schus of Sarah and all connected to her. The al bechina zo de ish eschayel, the avshi bechinat mekabel, harikol hagashmiut varuchaniut heim bezchuta. As we spoke about it at the beginning, that this means that by an ish eschayel, that even though in the paradigm she has the place of the mikabelet, even though that's her goal, that's her 50% of the puzzle of the meshbia and the mikabel, each one having 50%, or that's her 100% role as a mikabelet. Af al pichin, hare kol hagashmiut varuchaniut heim bezchuta, all of the physicality and the spirituality that's coming into this world is coming in through her. Miromaz inyan amirat ish eschayel b'lel Shabbos Kodesh, and this is hinted by the fact that we say ish eschayel on Lel Shabbos. Al pima di'ita b'sfarim hakadoshim, like it says in the Sfarim hakadoshim, Avudraham beinan Shabbos Kodesh, and by the Avudraham and by Shabbos Kodesh, Shekadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol bebechinat haChatan, vaShabbos hi bebechinat haKala. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu has the bechina of the groom, and Shabbos is the bride. That the bride and the groom that are coming together on Shabbos are a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Shabbos coming together on Shabbos Kodesh. Kamoshikatuv, Lecha Dodili Krat Kala Panei Shabbat Nekabla. Meaning, Kilu, on the one hand, we know that the Ben Zug of Shabbos is Bnei Yisrael, but on another level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ben Zug of Shabbat. And so we're saying, Lecha Dodili Krat Kala, meaning, why are we calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come and meet the Kala? Because we're bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the quote unquote groom, to his Kala, which is Shabbat. That's why we're saying, Lecha Dodi, come Dodili Krat Kala, come and greet the Kala. Because you're the groom, so to speak. Shakadosh Baruch Hu kiyachol bechinat haChatan vaShabbati bechinat Kala. Kemo shekatuv lechadu dikra Kala v'chulei tov. Ve'anu amrim zot kineged inyan zo shiyishna b'Shabbat. Shehi bechinat Eishes Chayil. And we're talking about this in the level that the Shabbos itself is the Eishes Chayil. That the Shabbos is also an aspect of being a mekabelat. That Shabbos is also the place of receiving the hashpa. How so? Da Shabbat. I don't know if we're going to go into all of it, but it's very deep what he's saying here. That Shabbat leit la megarma klum. That Shabbos has nothing of its own. When talking about the spheres, again, depending on how much time we have, we'll wait till we're finished to seeing all of the, actually what the Nitzvot Shalom has to say, we can unpack it a little bit if you want. When we talk about the spheres, which we mentioned and will continue to come up, right? We have Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, and?
Malchut.
Malchut is at the bottom of the organization of the spheres. And so Malchut, the way that it's defined Kabbalistically, is actually the vessel that holds the potential of all of the other sefirot, and is very often referred to as the feminine aspect of the sefirot, because it's the mekabelet, it's receiving all of the potential of the other sefirot and manifesting it, which means leitle megarme klum, again, keeping in mind all the things that we said before. It has nothing of its own, meaning not that it's meaningless, meaning that the meaning of Malchus is that it has is that all of the Sefirot would not be able to manifest without the Kli of Malchus. And that true Malchus is taking all of that potential and manifesting it into the world. We're already tangenting, close tangents. So meaning, who's the person who embodies Malchut? Who's the person who's the chariot of Malchut?
Woman,
I'll be the Sefirot. What? David HaMelech. He's the one who's associated with the Midah of Malchus. But what that means is, as is often the case, in total contrast to the way that the secular world looks at Malchus, looks at kingship, looks at power, kingship is not defined by one's ability. Meaning, when we vote for somebody, who are we voting for? We're voting for the person who has the best ideas and the best dedication to doing what they think is the best thing in the world, which should be good for everyone. We're voting for the person who we think will do the best good based on their own moral compass. That is definitionally the opposite of Judaism's perspective on Malchus. Judaism's perspective on Malchus is a true melech is somebody who removes all sense of ego and all sense of selfish desire, of agenda, of what I want, and creates themselves to be a pure vessel, to be a funnel for God's kingship in the world. That's the ideal of a king. That's the ideal of a melech. That's the ideal of a ruler. That's the ideal of a person having malchus within oneself. True rulership of oneself is to make space for one to funnel a Kadosh Baruch Hu through oneself. To make oneself a kli, to make oneself a melech, to make oneself a vessel. That's the goal of what a melech is. And so the term that's used al pi Kabbalah about malchut, the midah of malchus, is leit le megarme klum. It has nothing of itself on its own. It has nothing of its own. It has no investment. It has no agenda. Its whole passion in life is to manifest the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to manifest spirituality. Meaning, in our paradigm again, the man's goal is to bring God's will down. Not to impose his will on his wife and his house. But to be the person to bring down Ratzon Hashem into his home. And to the extent that he brings in Ratzon Hashem, then a woman's goal is to manifest that. To the extent that he's bringing in his own agendas, then a woman has no obligation to manifest that. Without getting into shalom bayis issues. But that's not the goal. That's not the purpose of shalom bayis. It's not the purpose of what a man is supposed to do. And so too, so here's what the Malchus is about. He's saying that that's what also Shabbos is all about. Leitle megarme klum. It's pure Malchus. It's pure feminine. It's pure mekabelet. U'mikol makom. Even though Shabbos is leitle megarme klum, and even though It's a bechina of malchus. Mikol makom, kol birkaan dili'ila v'tata b'yomad shvi'atalyan. The Zohar says, and every source indicates this. All bracha that comes from above and below, where is it all coming from? Shabbos Kodesh. It's all coming from Shabbos Kodesh. The psukim in the beginning of the second chapter of Bereishis all talk about the bracha and the kedusha that's coming from Shabbos. It's the makor of the bracha. It's the makor of kedusha. And even though it's only a mekabel, it's all in the schus of the Kabbalah of Shabbos Kodesh that we have any bracha and kedusha in the world. And so therefore it becomes the makor of bracha, it becomes the makor of kedusha. It becomes the source because it's all in the schus of it being able to funnel it and bring it into reality. In the same way. Ve'omrim zot b'leil Shabbos Kodesh, so we say Yisrael on Shabbos Kodesh, ha'mechavin k'neged b'china zo, k'neged this concept, sh'azhi b'china kiddushin k'mo she'omrim b'tfilat b'leil Shabbos Kodesh, ata kiddashta, on a level of kiddushin, on a level of marriage, like we say on tefillah on Leil Shabbos, of ata kiddashta, l'horot sh'ashabbat b'chinat Yish Yisrael, that Shabbos is on the level of the Yish Yisrael, sh'kol ha'brachot ha'gashmiyut v'aruchaniyut b'zchuta, that all of the blessings in physicality and spirituality are all coming in, the schus of Shabbos Kodesh are all coming in, the schus of the mekabelat, they're all coming in the schus of the Isha. U'bichlal zachor v'shamor b'dibor achad ne'emru, she'b'shabbos kodesh afilu hanukva ha'miromaz b'shamor hi gamken b'chinat mashpia. He's saying that this is even on the level of shamor b'zachor b'dibor achad, that zachor, milashon ma? Zachor? What's the root?
Zahar.
Which means?
To remember.
And also?
Male.
Interesting. Food for thought for later, right? But there's a lot of interesting, what's the connection between memory and masculinity? Food for thought. But the point is Zachor is Miramaz is hinting to the masculine aspects of reality. And Shamor then is hinting to the feminine aspects of reality. And Zachor and Shamor are said B'dibor Echad because they're united in a way where both the Shamor and the Zachor are all coming in the schus of the Isha on Shabbos. Are all coming together in Shabbos in the schus of the Mekabel, in the schus of the Isha, in the schus of Shabbos Kodesh. That's what he's saying here. Shabbos Kodesh, afilu hanukva, hamiromaz b'shamor, hi gam b'chinat mashpia. Because all the shefa that may not come from her is only manifesting through her, and without her it wouldn't be. The kol birkain di ilain v'tata, all bracha on high and down below, b'yom ha'shvi'a talyan, are all dependent upon Shabbos Kodesh. V'zei sheschayel miyimsa, and this is... Good luck to all of you. You now have what to aspire to, right? Now, Eish Eschael Miyimsa, V'gomer, Dekai Kulo Al Shabbos Kodesh, it's all talking about Shabbos Kodesh, it's all talking about the Isha, it's all talking about femininity, it's all talking about Malchus, it's all talking about a vessel, about a Mekabelet. Shekola Brachot Bizchuta V'Hashpa'ata, that all of the brachos in the world are in her schus, are in her hashpa, it's all coming through her. It's an unbelievable thing, again, just to emphasize a couple of the key points, to recognize again, not to let a masculine-dominated Torah world disenfranchise you from thinking that the people who are writing, the people who are speaking the truth, the rebbes and the rebbeim and the gedolei hador and all of these people, when they're writing, even if they're writing to a masculine audience, it doesn't mean in any way to stifle the deep appreciation, the necessity, the importance, the critical importance, the impossibility of a reality without the huge role that women play in that process. And the fact that men are often talking to men doesn't change the fact that Torah is talking to both men and women. And you see even here again, the moment that there's that opportunity and all these steps start to open up, everything's in the schus of the woman. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about. Maybe all of the books are written to the men because they need more to buttress them in order to keep them, you know, just to support them, to give them more work to do because the women are already doing everything in their schus. I mean, that's the idea here. The idea here is not to be disenfranchised in that way and to keep your eyes open for those moments when people are speaking directly to you. And if they're not, ask them to. Demand it. Because you deserve it also. If that's what the Torah says, and that's what the Torah is talking about, then there's a responsibility on us as part of the rabbinic world. I take it on our shoulders to make sure that we're talking to you as you should be spoken to make sure to reveal what the Torah has to say to you as well. And it's our fault there's not more out there in that way. It's very much our fault. And to recognize the deep appreciation that Torah puts on the meaningful, the essence of femininity, the necessity, the way that you all carry the torch of Judaism in its entirety, based on what we said before in terms of Shabbos, Kashrus, and Tarat HaMishpacha. The Kedusha of Judaism rests on your shoulders. The Kedusha of the Bais and the continuity of Judaism rests on your shoulders. You're the ones who are bringing this into reality. And that's an incredible charge. It's intense, it's intimidating, but it's incredibly powerful. It's all coming through you. Bezrat Hashem, through the Kedusha that you all bring to the world, you should be those Nashim Sitkaniot that Bezrat Hashem bring about through your actions, the Geulah B'mehira B'yaminu.
Thank you.